Mr. O'Sullivan, reel 31.
Well, there was quite a number of nappy girls there. Oh, with us being a small unit, we didn't really mix with the scuddies, but we did mix with the nappy girls. There was a Sergeant Johnson. There was one whose wedding I went to, and she comes out of your way.
Up in Durham.
I've got a tie up there, she said, and I have to go back in. And we knocked about with them, we'd come out with this boozing. If we weren't out with them, we'd be with these three prostitutes. But the prostitutes worked out of this little cafe.
And you were just friends with them?
And we were just friends with them. I tell you, I was a virgin when I got married, as a matter of fact. But there was also an NSEC unit. Yeah, we used to, and he was there to get the money from us as well. All the money went through this bank. So, and they used to do shows. There was a big concert on there. Like a theatre, there was a couple of theatres in Trieste. And the NSEC used to put shows in. And I can't remember any particular individuals coming to do the answer shows. It was just a group of them. Some of them had been in the army.
And what would a show consist of?
There was one show I remember most vividly. There was a sort of a Wild West show, roping, and I can see this boat with a lasso, and I think he got it nearly 20 foot across, and he could keep it going. There was singers, dancers, comedians. There wasn't any comedian that I particularly, would associate with any.
How did their performances go down with the club for the audiences?
Very well.
So
the audience had to pay to go in, but we never did. We had free seats because we handled their money. That was another advantage of being in the club. We had a box in this theatre, which was kept for the paper, for the marketing effort. Sometimes we could take maybe one of the employees, the civilian employees, to see it. But it was in English, some of them were American artists. I mean, a lot of the artists couldn't understand it anyway, but they could understand the music. And
so the Italians were allowed into the performances as well?
If they were accompanied by a British soldier.
So a soldier could take an Italian girl? Yeah. Now, you mentioned you had nappy women I mean, what was their response to this, quite a place where morality had broken down a little bit, let's say?
I think they thought I enjoyed it, and particularly as they had more money than the British soldier, really, the nappy girl. And there was stuff to buy which you couldn't buy in England. There were silk stockings, there was nice shoes, this interest. They thought they enjoyed it. I'm sure they did.
Now, you said you went to Vienna. Did you have leave to go there? Was that it?
Not to Vienna, to Venice.
Oh, to Venice, yeah, sorry. So you didn't go to Vienna?
No, I very nearly got posted to Vienna.
And how did that happen?
Well, the major above Jim was in charge of the Vienna Army Pay Office, and his sergeant was leaving. Agent service people come up, and he came into Trieste to see Jim, and he wanted a replacement sergeant, and Jim said, "Well, Sergeant Sullivan's just signed on." Leave in lieu of whatever. He said he's just signed on. He said, can you hang on while he's been on his leave? So Jimmy said, you ought to go to Wien or some such place. The name in German anyway. You know what, I don't mind. I was going out to Trieste anyway, then. So, and then when I told the paper, you see, I was I wasn't going to go, so I didn't get transferred to Vienna.
Any other memories of this period in Trieste that we haven't covered? Now, just a general question. I mean, you during your time in the Peer Corps, you've seen it by quite an enjoyable time. Now, did you ever think during this period that maybe if you'd been in the Peer Corps
all the time,
you might have? Did that ever cross your mind?
Well, no, not really. It's, you know, you come to realise that what had happened, and that was it. But I think it was the best time I had in there, I mean, while I was in in the Peer Corps.
Now, you mentioned the major above, Jimmy Smith. Do you think he knew about these schemes that were going on?
Well, I don't know, because he spent his time in Vienna, which was quite some way from Trieste.
And he was his immediate superior?
He was Jimmy's immediate superior. And his immediate superior was the general down in Rome.
So it's possible that the scheme went higher, but it's possible that it stayed. Yeah, yeah. So you enlisted for an extra few years.
I went for 7 years.
And then you tore the papers up.
When this trouble with the officer committed suicide.
What do you think might have happened if you hadn't, if you had stayed in?
Well, obviously.
Or what were you afraid of happening?
Well, I wasn't afraid of anything happening. That's why I signed on.
No, but when you decided to tear the papers up.
Oh, well, I thought we were going to have I could see Klagenfurt moving, which was a prison. While we was in Trieste, that's when Steve joined us, one of the drivers got into trouble by insubordination to an officer, and he got sent to Klagenfurt. Now, when he went, he was the loneliest bloody soldier you ever met. But when he came back after 2 months in Klagenfurt, he was one of the smartest bloody soldiers he's ever met. But that's why we got Steve with us.
Can you remember what his insubordination was?
He was just kicked an officer, a senior officer.
You mentioned one of your colleagues that had been awarded the military, off the tape, you mentioned one of your colleagues had been awarded the military medal but didn't wear the ribbon. Can you just...
Well, that was Steve. He didn't wear... Well, I've shown you that photograph of him. He didn't wear the ribbons.
And why was... What? Did he ever explain why?
Well, he said he didn't believe he was entitled to the military medal any more than the rest of his company. But his section. Apparently, what he told me about was that while he was in the army itself, before he was in RASC, he most probably went to RASC after retraining or something like that. Anyway, while he was in the army, him and one or two more of the section, they were doing house cleaning somewhere, and they charged the machine gun post and overcome it. And he said it was more than him he said, but it was only him who got the MM. And I think it entitled to him about 6 months a day extra for the MM. Well, it was 6 months a day or 25, something like that. They got a bit of a pension with these medals.
Just on that same similar theme, by this stage in your army career, the battle dress had changed. You were allowed to wear neckties and so on.
Yeah.
Was that, what did you feel about that?
Oh, it felt a lot smarter. Yeah. I mean, the old arm of the shirt was just a neck band, and we didn't look. The Americans really started, didn't it? And the Americans were smarter than we were, so we got to wear the collar and tie, and we did look better.
What about the campaign ribbons, the Africa Star?
I went into trouble for not wearing them. I didn't put mine on until I was put on the charge.
Could you explain that then?
When we got, I forget what camp, I got the African Star, obviously, I got the European Star, 1939-45 Star. I got the Italian Star, and I didn't get the Italian Star, I got the Africa Star. I had three of them, I forget what the one was, which was in general service. And I was once out and I got stopped in the street by an officer, who obviously knew I was a soldier who had been in the unit, and he put me on a charge for not wearing ribbons in proper dress. And I never did apply for any medals. I never.
To this day?
Well, no. I mean, my brother didn't die, and he was entitled to similar to me, because he was in the same theatre role. Africa, because he went to Italy and Yugoslavia. He wasn't captured, so he'd be entitled to more medals than that. So we never applied for it. Now that they'd be younger brother in the Virgin Navy, they were entitled to these certain medals. Did your dad apply for it?
I think his sister, who was a nurse, she put in for them.
Mm.
And they lost them, though.
No, I never saw them. Well, I'll say I never applied for them.
Yeah. Now, so, you torn up your papers, you Trieste. What happened then?
Well, I stopped another week or two in Trieste. And we had one sergeant left. About the Trieste, you know, one sergeant moved on and replaced by another sergeant. There was an audit. And this major come from chief office, from, you know, he was either in Jimmy, but he wasn't, he was an audit man, he didn't work in it. We did an audit on the bank, down in the vaults, everything had to be spot on. And when we came out of the bank, after the vaults of the bank, he said, now, off the premises, and don't let them catch any of them. And that's how I left the paper.
Why was he so abrupt?
Because I've done an audit. If you come back on here, it means that audit's invalid. So, off the premises. He wasn't nasty. I was surprised when he said it, but he sort of explained. He said, if I catch you on here again, you know, in the office, then that audit is invalid. We'd have to do it all again. Because there was an awful lot of money, because we paid the 8th Army out, because the positive Navy payoff was attached to the Desert Rats. There was an awful lot of money out, Andy.
Were there any robberies, you know, like armed robberies of...
Yeah, we had an attachment which was out in a was out in Trieste. It was in a bit of a rough area actually. I forget which officer, what office they were. Anyway, there was a lieutenant, a driver, and a sergeant in his office. And to fetch money from us. We have to get money into the bank for 3 and 3. And then they would come in and they would draw so much money from us. It's the loan made up until $1,500. And on the bloody truck they had cash and carry printed on it, on the actual truck itself. And the jugs was...
That's the Yugoslavians.
Yeah, those bandits in Ottawa. And they held them up, took all the money, got all the boxes, took all the money, and left them. And they had to come back into Trieste and tell us they wouldn't have been robbed. Because there was an inquiry. Why had they been... They weren't even armed. If you look at that photograph, they're not armed on there.
You've got a photograph of the wagon with cash and carry written on the front. And that was the two men
that
in
was
question.
The sergeant wasn't in the truck when it was robbed. The officer was in the truck when it was robbed. And the driver.
Can you remember who they were?
The driver stood at the middle. I'm useless with names. But he was officer in the Royal Army Pay Corps. And he was a driver from the RAFC, Royal Army Service Corps. And the sergeant, who, as I say, wasn't with the truck when it was robbed, was a Royal Army Pay Corps sergeant.
And that was the only example close to home?
Yeah.
Yeah. Now, you were leaving Trieste. Did you have a last night out with your fellow sergeants?
We went out with the sergeants, and we went out with the corporals, and looked at the corporals, the captain. They took me out for a night. The two drivers. So we had a good...
What did you do?
First of all, we went to an Enter concert. And that's where I saw this bloke with a big group. There were quite a lot of concerts there, but this is the one I remember most on the last night there. We were spinning a rope. You had a job to spin it in this room. You got that big one. It was letting it out all the time. And then you'd lower it down and jump over it and that sort of thing. And I took it out, they got me drunk. And Harry brought me back to the barrack. Walked the other way with him. And I was as sick as a dog. That is the only time I really got a drink that worked on me. And we had a really good night. And I think the time I got, when I was really trained to come home, I could still trust. And this is where I met some of the boats from Army that was coming on from, obviously coming back in the Army, and there was on the way home. I met him on the craft between France and Dover.
And that was at the latter stages of this journey?
That's where I was coming home, when I actually finished with him.
Can we just talk us through that journey? Started at Trieste.
Started in Trieste, and I trained through, back to... We went to France, overland, by train. So when we go through Switzerland, no, I don't think we went back through Switzerland. I'm sure we didn't. But we travelled from Trieste into France, and we finished up at Calais. I don't remember much about the journey after that. I remember being good in Rome.
And then that's when you met these Arnhem veterans.
We must have known them. They must have been on the way home as well.
So what were you talking to them about?
We talked about being a prisoner of war, and some of them had been prisoners as well. They were captain of the Army. And they'd gone back in the army same as I had, because they weren't young enough to be, they weren't. And we got talking about Ireland and POW camps, and some of them had been at POWs as well in Germany. They captured it in Italy. And we got talking on the way over to do Ireland. I don't know what exactly we talked about, but it was because there was still where the Red Baron. Because there was airborne was red berry, green berries was red as well. Yeah. I don't know what we talked about, but I know we had a good team there, and coming out from Cali to Dover. When we landed at Dover, we went into the transit camp at Dover. Well, that's where you could change your money. You could change whatever money you had, but you had to prove that the money you had, you'd been entitled to it. You couldn't have more than what showed in your paybook. If you'd drawn £100 over the time, you could change £100. You could say you'd never spent a penny, but you couldn't change over £100. But I had quite a little bit more than what I was entitled to, because of the black market thing I'm doing on. Because I'd hardly drawn any money at all out of the table while I was in Trieste. So we formed a queue through that. Four or five pay officers at the end of these queues and going along. Once you go in queue, you just went to the room. And I knew what I had got. £10,000 a year. Yeah. So I just worked the old computer thing and we got so much money. That was it. That was our exchange. I was in this queue and I looked at the British officer who was Paco, and he was a sergeant major I'd fell out with before I went to Rome. And he looked up and he saw me and he said, "And you don't want to have too much money, Sullivan?" I know very well I wouldn't change the penny extra to 2,000 to that time. So some I give away and some I just lost. I mean, is it being an order with, once you've seen your sergeant in the pay car, they would never, they've just pushed it through. But not in, not when they saw it was me.
Why had you fallen out with him in England?
I beat him at darts, believe it or not. When I was first, I learned to play darts, and I was a good dart player.
That was with a homemade dartboard?
That was with a homemade dartboard. That sergeant major went out to Rome with me, and we went out to Rome. He was a sergeant major. He also was in Trieste at the same time as I was, and I once went into a mess where he was. If he was in the area for a pay office, there was maybe only four men, as captain and having a driver and a sergeant. If he was in a big office, as we'd been in Rome, there was a lot of men, so there was a sergeant's mess in there. He came up to Trieste, where there was another pay office, which wasn't a field pay office. Same as the one at Footscray. It was just where all the writing was done. There was no money in them sort of offices. And I went to that office once. First I went into the sergeant's mess, and he was there. No, it was all right, I mean, we don't know that. Until we played darts. He'd been the top dart player in that match until I got there. And I was only there, and I beat him easily. You know, I made him look a bit, well, no, I didn't make him look at him, but I beat him very easily because I spent many days and days just playing bloody darts. And when he saw me in that queue, he said, "Now, I'm going to teach you."
So you got through the queue, minus a lot of your money.
Yeah, I guess I went to the people around about me, but they were in the same boat as me. You know, they'd come from a place where I was able to make money. So lots of people didn't want it. Because, you know, they were going to be in the same boat. And a lot of it was just wasted.
So you went through that queue, then what happened?
Well, then I went to a transit camp in Dover for we stopped the night in Dover, then we moved up to, where was Andy Hunt? Somewhere this side of London. I don't know. I know the first thing I went to was King's Cross Rovers, so I think we were demobbed suit.
So you knew you were being demobbed?
Oh, yeah.
All the way from Trieste?
Yeah, that's what I was coming home for. Mm-hmm. I was coming home on the Agent Service Group 44.
Could you just explain what the agent service group was? How that worked?
I don't know how it works. I didn't know how it worked at one time. Apparently it was your age at joining and your length of service. I was 18 when I joined. I did 5 years. So, I mean, it doesn't... Agent service, I don't know how it worked out.
But it was a combination of the two.
It was a combination of agent service. So I was agent service group 44, and it was December 46 when I came out. You got a demob suit, a hat, and you got shoes. And you can do it. Well, I didn't, because I was already wearing shoes. I had no shoes. And wherever I was demobbed, there was, when we got to King's Cross, there was plenty of Smith boys, spitters did they call, wanted to buy me suits.
Were you tempted?
No, not really, I just... Well, we knew that there was no way I could buy a suit when I got home, because I hadn't any clothing clothes, I was going to be in short supply.
Just going through the process of, if you go over the process of getting the suit, Was there a reasonable selection of styles?
And yeah, there was a reasonable selection of colours. It was all the same style.
Which was what? Just a formal?
Well, it was a three-piece suit. Jacket, waistcoat and trousers. I think we got socks.
What kind did you get?
A blue suit. I can't think. I don't remember when we got footwear. I did it on a necklace.
Were you pleased with it one year ago?
Well, I was pleased to be wearing it. that meant you were out of the army. But actually, I wasn't out of the army because I found out later I was still on reserve. What did your dad? What did your dad on reserve?
Yeah, I think so.
I think it was automatic. He was on reserve for a certain amount of time.
No.
And then I went home and then. I think we got to, when we come in from Trieste and not having any new wild interest, I got extra pay. I was allowed 3 extra weeks pay, which you got in English money. And you sort of said, well, that's it, that's your final pay and we're finished.
Now, you've got a soldier's release book that we've looked at.
Yeah.
Could we possibly just look at it again at this point? Right, Mr. O'Sullivan, you've found your soldier's release book and you've got
the testimonial
that's written inside it, and I suppose every release book would have one of these from it.
Oh, definitely.
If you could just read that out.
It said, Military Conduct Exemplary. Testimonial. Sergeant O'Sullivan has proved himself capable of accomplishing any task allotted to him efficiently and well. He is loyal, industrious, quick to learn, and his integrity is beyond question. The promotion gained has been well earned, and I can thoroughly recommend him to any future employer to whom he may offer his services. Signed, J. Smith, Captain, Paymaster, IC, 47 Area Pay Office, 27th of November, 1946.
Right. Now, you were demobbed.
What's that number 49 doing there? Overseas, Unit Overseas or UK Stamp, 49. District. Field Cash Office, 27th of November, 1946, number 49.
Right. So that's your soldier's release book. Was this useful in returning to civilian life?
No, I never used it. Never used it once.
And why was that?
Well, I knew when you need. Because I just went back to... I went back to the steelwork for a start.
And were you guaranteed...
The job, yes.
That was...
So that was never able to tell, never filled in at all.
That's another part of your...
Same for this bloody painting of the bank now, which we didn't need.
Soldier's release book.
A soldier's release book and transfer to the Army Reserve. Royal Army Pay Corps. Certificate of transfer to the Army Reserve. 4809795 Sergeant O'Sullivan Patrick, Royal Army Pay Corps. The transfer of the above name to the appropriate class of the Army Reserve is confirmed with effect from the 4th of March 1947. So I must have been given so many days leave, you know, away from as soon as I could. Royal Army Pay Corps Records, 5th of December 1946. 6th of December 1946.
So after you were demobbed, you went to King's Cross, and then?
Straight up to Scunthorpe, and home.